Brothers and sisters, we've been giving a message. We've been entrusted with a message, and that is the good news of Jesus Christ. And as the Church of Jesus Christ, not only have we been entrusted with a message of good news, there's a lot of evil, there's a lot of hurt in our world, and there is need for a good message, I assure you. Not only have we been entrusted with a message, but we've been entrusted with a mission. We've been entrusted with a mission to spread his fullness and his kingdom into every corner of the world. And the kingdom of God, when we talk about the kingdom of God, it's talking about the rule of God, how he executes his rule, his authority in the world. And it is the mission of the church, essentially, to spread this good, this perfect, this superior authority into all the world. And this task cannot be accomplished by individuals who are all alone. It's too big a task to accomplish on my own. It's too big of a task to accomplish on your own. It must be accomplished together. Going forth with the gospel of Jesus Christ, proclaiming it, making disciples of people, must be done together. We must be on the same page on this. We must link arm in arm and go forth in this good cause. And it's no secret, we talked about this last week a little bit too, but our tendency is to do what is right in our own eyes and to not work together. So our tendency when groups come together is individual ideas come up, we go our own ways, we think, oh, this might be a good idea, this might be a good idea, and go here and there. And our tendency isn't really to work together. Like, it's not my tendency, and I don't think it's anyone else's. It's not natural in our flesh to want to work together. But here's what we see today. As a united body of Christ, what we see in this text, we see that we should operate out of our individual gifting according to the grace that has been given to us when we placed our faith in Jesus Christ, so that the fullness of Christ spreads in this community, in this county, and beyond. As a united body of Christ, we should operate out of our gifting according to the grace given to us, so that the fullness of Christ spreads. And so when we consider how the fullness of Christ spreads, this isn't some hypothetical, philosophical, theoretical thing. I believe that we can actually have a plan, and the plan is given to us here in this text to have the fullness of God spread. Right? So we talk about the gospel and its implications of what that means for us. So the gospel being the good news of Jesus Christ and what he's come to do. So that's God's plan of salvation, that in the beginning people sinned, they disobeyed God, they trespassed against his law, and they were separated from a good God. And then the Bible was a love story of God pursuing his people, and he ultimately sent his son Jesus, even though his righteous standard is way above ours. He got in our muck and mire through his son Jesus Christ. He did that which we could not do and died a death and took on our punishment, even though we should have been punished. And then he raised to life for the justification of all who believe in him through faith by grace. And so it's out of that understanding that we have a plan going forward. It's out of that understanding that we do the work of ministry. It's out of that understanding we go forward with the mission of God in our community. And so when considering how the fullness of Christ spreads, we consider his plan, his people, and his purpose. He has a plan, he has a people, and he has a purpose. Starting with his plan, I alluded to it already, but starting, if you're following along with me, I'm here in verse 7. It says, but grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. And I want to explain that just a second. Even though that verse 8 might seem kind of confusing, here's what it is in essentially is doing here. It's recounting God's plan of salvation. God had a plan to redeem his people, to redeem creation for all those who place their faith in Jesus Christ. And grace is given to each one according to what Jesus has already done. See, he shows us immense, undeserved favor towards sinful humanity for those who place their faith in him. And for those who don't place their faith in him, then the righteous and good wrath of God comes upon them because they are not covered by his Son. And so the fullness of Christ can spread throughout the world because of God's plan of salvation. We are his people gifted through Christ because of his gift that he has done, because of his plan of salvation. And it says here in verse 8, it's quoting Psalm 68. This psalm says, when Yahweh, that is God, ascended on high and led a host of captives, that is when he was leading people in war, led them up to Zion. When they went to war, they took all the spoils. So when they went in, when they won a war, they took all the spoils, all the gifts, and plundered everything. And it says here, and it says in Psalm 68 anyway, that the Lord receives these gifts. And then Paul, in a sense, looks at the psalm and says, not only did Christ receive these gifts, not only was he victorious in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, in his ministry as a man, but he was also able to not only receive gifts, but he gives gifts to people. So the spoils that he took, the great victory that he's had over sin, death, and the grave, he in turn gives gifts back to his people. We in turn, when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, believe and are persuaded that the Holy Spirit of God now resides in us. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is God's plan of salvation. Christ is victorious. He took the spoils. He took everything. And then God, not only doing that, gives gifts to men based upon his grace, which is grace upon grace upon grace. There is no limit to it. So Jesus Christ now is descended, verse 9 and 10. He comes down to our earth, comes down into our existence, and then ascends back up victorious. And he's ascended so that the Holy Spirit could be sent to fill all things. So brothers and sisters, as a united body of Christ, we trust in God's plan of salvation to accomplish the mission. That is what is in the driver's seat of the church as God's people, is the gospel of Jesus Christ and his plan of salvation. There is nothing that shares the driver's seat with the gospel. Everything else takes back seat. Everything adorns it. Everything else, I take back seat and I adorn the gospel. It is what has priority in the body of Christ. It is what is driving the bus, if you will. And so before we go on to our individual gifting, brothers and sisters, we must be united in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the good news that we have through that. Number two, God has his people. He has his plan, but he also has his people. So kids, as I said in the children's sermon, you look around. God gave us his people, and he chooses to work through his people. So those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ are now his people. They are called out of darkness because to be apart from Jesus Christ is to be on the path of destruction and going towards an eternity separated from God in hell, separated from him. It's a horrible place, horrible reality. That's part of why we have this mission, because we don't want to see people destroyed. We have too much love and care for these people to let that happen. And so we go out with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we do that together. We do that as people. God chose to use people to do this. And now God wants to make his plan of salvation known to people. Even though that Jesus Christ came to earth 2,000 years ago, he still wants to make this message known here. Even though we are out here in rural Northwest Iowa, he still wants to make his gospel and his presence known in this corner of the world. And he wants to use me and he wants to use you to do that all together. Verse 11, it says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. God gives at least five different offices here: apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. And this is the foundation. See, the apostles, you had 12 of them in the Gospels. Paul was an apostle. Matthias was chosen to replace Judas, who was an apostle that betrayed Jesus. An apostle is one who was directly commissioned by Jesus Christ, by the risen Jesus Christ, for the purpose of making a movement to go out with the gospel. And so we know for sure that there's those 12 and there's Paul. And Christ revealed himself to them. Paul wrote much of our New Testament. He wrote the book of Ephesians. He wrote much of the New Testament. That wasn't his ideas. But God, Jesus Christ, the God-man, revealed himself to Paul. And by revelation, showed Paul immense things about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that on that teaching, as it says in Acts, we are devoted to the apostles' teaching. And that remains true now. And there are movements and groups that continue to believe that there are apostles. And I'm not going to get into that too much. But just know that the 12 and Paul had direct revelations from Jesus Christ. And I don't care who says they are an apostle today, if their teaching goes against what the 12 and the Paul had, it is not from Jesus Christ. There is no leader, there is no prophet, there is no preacher that can go against the word of God. And if they do, they are a false prophet. They are a wolf. They are coming in to destroy and kill that which what God is wanting to do. So we place our faith in the word because God has revealed himself through it. We place our faith in the word because the only gospel is proclaimed in it. People try to meddle with the gospel. People try to make new messages and gospels. People claim to have new revelations that don't necessarily tie into scripture. But here, we trust in what God has shown the apostles. Not because Paul was so great, not because Peter was so great, but because God was so great in commissioning these men with these teaching. And we also have prophets, we also have evangelists, we also have shepherds and teachers. So me standing up here, am a shepherd and a teacher. We have evangelists, we have people who are good at proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Perhaps we have prophetic people who can see the big picture of the church, and when hardship and destruction come, they have the discernment to know what's going on. But get this, we move on here. Because brothers and sisters, it's not just about this pulpit here. While this is important, this is a part of the ministry. Keep reading here in verse 12. It says, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. To equip the saints for the work of ministry. So Paul says, and he gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So brothers and sisters, this is not a one-man show, but it's an every member ministry. No one sits on the bench and watches other people play, but everyone participates. If you have placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul, you have a unique gifting that is needed and valuable here, no matter what it may be. And some of them, and I think Satan can tempt us with this, some of these giftings can seem seemingly insignificant. Perhaps someone who is gifted with words of encouragement, they might be tempted to think, oh, that's insignificant, what role do I really play here? But I assure you, if you have the gift of encouragement, for example, you have a vital place here. Have you ever been around someone who they try to say something encouraging, but it's still a huge Debbie Downer? It's just like, that was still really discouraging. It's a gift to be an encourager. I've had people come up to me and encourage me, and even when I haven't been feeling the best about my own place in ministry, it has really helped to bring me up because the Lord spoke to these people who are encouragers. And there are other giftings as well. There's two primary places that list out these giftings. I want to just go through them really quick here. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says there's a variety of services. To the utterance of wisdom is given. To another, the utterance of knowledge is given by the same Spirit. To another, faith. To another, gifts of healing. To another, working of miracles. And to another, prophecy. To another, to ability to distinguish between spirits, which means discernment. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. And then Romans 12 as well. We have listed out gifts of grace as well. So in one body, we have the same function. We have prophecy, we have faith, we have service, we have teaching, we have exhorting, we have contributing, we even have generosity, we have leadership, we have zeal, we have mercy, we have cheerfulness. And so, brothers and sisters, whether it be one of these gifts or maybe something apart from that, you've been all given a gift, because the Greek word charismata means grace gift. Out of the grace given, you have also been given a gift through the Holy Spirit. And in the future days here, if you call yourself a member of this church, we want to help you find your gifting. This discipleship stuff that we're going to unveil in the fall, that's something I really think and believe is important, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to have that be a time to where I get to know you, you get to know me, we get to figure out what your gifting is, and we equip you to do that by the gospel. We build you up so that you can in turn build the church up. You can have a meaningful interaction and a part in the life of this church. And I think that's really cool, and I'm really excited about that. So brothers and sisters, it's an every member ministry. We come together, and out of operating out of our gifts, then we can go out, and the church grows. People come to know the Lord. People come to know the gospel in our area, because people are linked together, and they operate out of their unique gifting. And so if you don't, before I move on from this point, if you don't know what your spiritual gifting is, that is totally fine. You are not less than because you might not know what your gifting in the church is. And so a couple suggestions as I move on. There are spiritual gift tests, inventories, which I suppose sometimes can be helpful, but I think sometimes they can also be personality tests too. Ultimately, these gifts come from the Lord Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Ask Him, pray about it. Read these texts. Does anything pop off the page at you? Does something really pop off and say, oh, that looks neat. I'm passionate about that. I have zeal for that. Read through these texts and see if anything pops up. Be in prayer about it. Because the one who gives gifts will certainly give you gifts if you ask Him. And so while inventories can be helpful to an extent, that's not the end of that means there. Ask the one who gives the gifts. Also, be in community with people here. Because if you're in community with people, people can start pointing out, saying things like, oh, I see this in you, I see that in you, or I don't see this in you, or I don't see that. Try things out. Sometimes you might try something out in the church and it might go really well, and sometimes you might try something out and it might not go so well, and if it doesn't go well, there's absolute grace for you. And so, long story short, the hope is when we have discipleship in the fall, a big purpose of that is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for each other to get to know one another, to ponder what your gifting might be, and then once we find that out, to equip you to do the work of ministry. The work of ministry is to being a minister of the gospel, proclaiming the gospel. That's the work of the ministry. I think sometimes we make it too complicated, but the work of ministry in and of itself is that. Paul was a minister of the gospel. He said, I know nothing but to move on from this. And I don't think we should either. The United Church of God, the people of God, operate out of their gifting for the building up of the church so that she might accomplish the purpose and mission. Lastly, his purpose. I talked about God's plan of salvation, but if there's no purpose behind a plan, it doesn't come to fruition. If we have a plan here at church, but there's no purpose, it does not come to fruition. My dad bought a boat last year, and we've had fun with it. We've gone on the river fishing. It's a little 16-foot boat, and that can feel pretty small out on the Francis Case Reservoir out west. And so we had a plan. We had a boat. We had something we were going to go out in. We were going to catch fish. And the first time we went on the river, we were driving around and trying to find fish and that sort of thing. And then I heard the thing you never want to hear when there is 120 feet below you. I'm driving along, and I hear from behind me, "Take it on water!" And sure enough, I look behind me, and there's about 2 inches of water in the boat. And it just bogs down. It's going slower and slower. And so we got into a bay as quick as we could, and we got that thing out of the water. See, we had a plan, but if there's no purpose, if it's not holding up together, it does not go well. Church, if we have a plan, but there's a hole in the boat, and we are not centered on the gospel, we sink. If we are not centered on the gospel and we go out in the boat, things do not go well. God has set forth his purpose in this book. There is no purpose that goes beyond God's plan of salvation. That is our purpose, brothers and sisters, to join along with Jesus Christ in what he has done and work as a united people and grow up into him who is the head. It talks about this in 4:13, 4:14, and 15. What is the purpose of the church? Here is the purpose, brothers and sisters. Here is the thing that keeps us from being tossed to and fro by the waves when we're out to sea. Here is the thing that keeps us from sinking when we are out in the sea. Verse 13, until we attain to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ, until we grow up to be like him who we worship. Kids a lot of times turn out to be like their parents. They follow the ways of their dad. They follow the ways of their mom. But we as brothers and sisters, we as children of God, we grow up to be like our God. We grow up into the fullness of Christ. Moving on to verse 15, skipping ahead a little bit. We speak the truth in love. We grow up in every way into him who is the head, who is Christ. And then the whole body is joined together, and it builds itself up in love, and it works. But if you take Christ out of it, it is not a New Testament church. It's not a good thing, and it is something completely other than that. And so our mission to go make disciples cannot work if Christ is not in the driver's seat. It cannot work if the gospel is not in the driver's seat. If a man-made idea is in the driver's seat, we might accomplish things, but it is not going to be the mission of God, and it is not going to be the task to make disciples. See, we have to be centered on this purpose, brothers and sisters.